I'm the president of the Yano fan club. I'm his biggest fan. I have a tattoo of him.
Right above your heart.
Right above my heart.
Yes.
Only because they wouldn't do it on
right
my
next
heart.
To Scott. Right next to Scotty. Yeah. He was a big dude leaning in for a kiss.
Yeah, to the other guy.
Oh.
Yes, it was. Just caught me off. Totally caught me off.
Sure.
Now, we're hunting mice, not elephants. You don't need the big gun. It's just like, calm down a little bit, right? Why you even have handcuffs? That's all unnecessary gear, right?
I can just imagine. That would be amazing. His tongue stuck and you're just pouring some more coke.
I'd probably pull on it a few times and then be like, oh, let me, I better pour some more water.
Your tongue's not letting go, bro. I'm sorry. A
couple good yanks and then be like, oh, cocoa.
Welcome back to the Major Award edition of Talking a Christmas Story with the Cast, where each episode is a joyous dive into the festive world that we cherish. I'm Yano Anaya, and today we are going to embark on a journey through the hearts of our favorite holiday classic. We pay homage to Bob Clark, the visionary director behind A Christmas Story, and unveil the layers surrounding a mysterious figure who has been part of our journey, yet remains a whisper among the cheers. But today's show has more than just nostalgia. Have you ever seen a face so familiar yet so mysterious in the crowd of A Christmas Story events? Well, stick around because our mysterious guest today is someone who's been hiding in plain sight. Our digital mailbox overflowed this week with your festive contributions. Highlights included vivid stories and snapshots of the recent eclipse that captivated so many of us. We also received enthusiastic feedback on Scott Schwartz's revealing interview. If you missed it, it's a must-see. It's available on our last episode. Plus, we encountered a wonderfully creative email that painted a nostalgic picture of A Christmas Story through the eyes of a modern fan. It was a heartwarming narrative that reminds us why this movie resonates so deeply across generations. For those not yet on our list, visit achristmasstoryfamily.com to join our newsletter and delve into more captivating content. In the heart of a snow-swept Indiana, woven into the fabric of chilly December nights and the warm glow of holiday lights, lies a tale that transcends the boundaries of time and space, a tale that begins, perhaps, in a place not unlike your own childhood neighborhood. This story, under the masterful hand of Bob Clark, took the form of A Christmas Story, a film that didn't just entertain, but became a ritual, a seasonal rite that beacons us all to the warmth of nostalgia, to the magic preserved within the frames of a time that feels both lost and warmly familiar. Imagine, if you will, a world without this film. Picture the countless Christmases absent of the Parker family's antics, the absence of Ralphie's desperate quest for a Red Ryder BB gun, the silence where once the comedic outcry over a leg lamp echoed. It's almost like envisioning a winter without snow, isn't it? Bob Clark did more than direct a holiday movie. He captured the essence of childhood longing, a familial bond of the poignant, often hilarious misadventures that shaped the holiday experiences of many. Each scene meticulously crafted, from the battle within the furnace to the triple dog dare at that school flagpole. It resonates with a truth universally acknowledged, but rarely so beautifully portrayed. Through his lens, Clark didn't just show us a story. He invited us into a world where every frame smelled of hot chocolate and felt like the softest red flannel against our chilled cheeks. He created a place where each viewing could feel like coming home, where every laugh shared and every line recited was a thread in the tapestry that connects us all. And yet, amidst the laughter and the light, there's a profound silence, a space filled with the unspoken understanding that we are a part of something greater, something timeless, not because of the film alone, but because of what the film evokes within us. It's the feeling of being young and on the cusp of magic. It's the heartache of a cherished moment past and the joyous anticipation of it returning once more as the film rolls each year. Bob Clark knew this. He crafted each moment with a delicate touch, embracing the raw, honest elements of the holiday spirit, often messy, sometimes broken, but always invariably real. This, dear listeners, is the gift Bob Clark gave us all. Not just a film, but a mirror to our past, a beacon to our present, and a legacy that will continue to light up screens and hearts for generations to come. As we gather here today, warmed by the glow of our shared memories, let us remember the man whose vision transformed the ordinary into the extraordinary, whose work reminds us that magic doesn't live in the grand gestures, but in the soft, glowing lights of a Christmas tree and the hope of what's waiting under it. Let's carry this magic forward as Bob did with each story we tell and every memory we share. Shifting our gaze from the glow of the screen to the shadows of the auditorium, today's spotlight falls on someone you've likely seen but might not even know. Present in many a photo, yet not on the silver screen, his story is finally told. Today's spotlight falls on a man shrouded in as much mystery as the famed leg lamp was in glory. A figure who's been a silent guardian at our cherished events. You've seen him in photos, always close to the action, yet his story has remained untold until now. A veteran with a past decorated in the service of our country and private military contracts. He's the unsung hero who's ensured safety at countless high-profile celebrity gatherings. His life reads like an action-packed novel full of daring escapes and covert operations in the Middle East. And he holds a Rolodex of stories about the who's who of Hollywood. Today, he steps out from the background not just as a protector, but as a pivotal member of the A Christmas Story family. With a background as diverse as it is, secretive, from a high-stakes military operations to a guardian A-list celebrities, he has more stories than a holiday season as snowflakes. With no further ado, let me introduce Scott Miniger. So, what's up, Big Scott? This is amazing, man. Thank you so much for joining us on Talking a Christmas Story, man. It's awesome to have you here. Now, so before we get started, there's a question that's been looming. Okay. In the Facebook communities, everybody's been asking, who is that? Who is this? Who is that? There's like this secret guy that's behind the guy.
The power behind the throne.
Yes. So tell us, who the hell are you, man?
Well, longtime friends with almost, I'd say lifelong friends with, you know, several cast members. Do a lot of, I have a background, you know, military background, security background. So, you know, I just kind of fell into doing some, you know, personal assistant work and some security work and, for some big money guys. And then it parlayed into like celebrities. And then, when things slowed down a little bit, I had an opportunity to, come to work for Pete. So it kind of fell in line. Yeah. Oh, worked awesome. Out great because I love it. I love it.
That's yeah. great. Awesome. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. So I've got some very intriguing questions that we would love to kind of dive a little bit deeper into who you are. And then, of course, sure. you know, this is going to be your parameter to discuss. So first question, man, is all in your secretive travels, what's the strangest A Christmas Story related item that you have ever come across in someone's home or at an event somewhere?
I already know it comes to mind. I was at a Christmas village. Europe, they do Christmas very big. I mean, the entire villages. I mean, it's just, you know, people from all over the world. And I had stopped into a shop in Germany. And I was just, you know, wandering around looking for some just stuff that we needed from the store. And I saw a pair of Christmas Story socks hanging in the store in Germany. And I bought them. I actually have them. The first thing I did was like, I snapped a picture and like sent it to Scott Schwartz. I was like, dude, you know,
here you are.
So, yeah, I mean, I've seen it. I've seen Christmas Story items in Moscow in Russia. I've seen it in St. Petersburg in Russia, in Germany. So, you know, they're out there in Europe. I mean, there's definitely merchandise out there. So, you know, there's got to be fans, right?
Yeah, no doubt. So yeah. You mentioned that you took a picture of it and you sent that picture to Scott Schwartz. Mm-hmm. So I am assuming Scott Schwartz is one of those that is a lifelong friend for you, right?
Yeah, so. We've known each other since, you know, childhood. So me and Scott are like, I mean, my house is his house. It's I wouldn't even say he's a friend. I'd say he's family. So it's, you know.
100%. Yeah. Like your brother from childhood.
Yeah, I mean,
That's awesome.
You
man.
Know, he's one of the guys. He don't need to knock. He just comes to the house. You know, he's got stuff here. This is like, you know.
And so. You know, man, to have those kinds of very special close relationships
sure.
with people with life still 30, 40, 50, well, okay, maybe 40 years later.
40 years, sure. Yeah. Yeah, almost, yeah.
Well, that's awesome, time, man. Yeah, that shows a lot about how much you guys love each other and trust each other. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. So next question. If you had to choose one character from A Christmas Story to have your back in a tight situation, who would it be and why?
In a tight situation? It would be a toss up between you and Zach. I'm leaning more towards Zach because he's done roles in like Resident Evil and stuff where he's done the whole tactical kind of military thing. He looks like he would kind of, you know, follow my lead and take the instruction, you know, but, you know, you definitely look like you could hold your own too. Sure. So.
I would be in the background waiting to see if there's any necessary things that you may need to support your actions, but
yeah,
I concur.
Yeah. Zach, but I mean, I think if it was something that was, beyond my skill level, I would try to, include him in it to, even the odds.
Yeah. You know, Zach, Zach is very, he's like a gazelle. Like literally, he's very athletic. You may not know, you may not see because you haven't seen that. But from the training that he had from Transformers, right, and all the other training that he's had, he's had a lot of exposure to specific tactical situational awareness and movements and all of that. So
I've been around it my entire life. I can recognize it in a second. Even how people say certain things, you could they have some kind of a military background or some kind of an inside background, just how they carry themselves. I mean, he's a great guy, became very close with Zach. I mean, he's a super cool guy, but like, in a situation like that, with only that to pull from, I choose Zach. I don't look back.
Agreed. Awesome. All right. So next question, man. What's the most unexpected situation you've ever found yourself in at a celebrity event that could rival any scene from A Christmas Story?
A scene from A Christmas Story. I mean, without mentioning, people, but I mean, I've been, in close proximity to someone that tried to actually lean in and kiss the celebrity where I had to, which was kind of unexpected. Like, where did that come from? And for me, my head's on a swivel. Right. And for that to kind of catch me by surprise, I was like, if that was an unexpected, at a celebrity event,
leaning in for a kiss.
I mean, yeah, and he was a big guy.
He was a big dude leaning in for a kiss.
Yeah, to the other guy. Yes, it was just caught me off. Totally caught me off.
Sure.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. All right, cool. Next intriguing question for you. Have you ever had to use your tactical training to protect any of the film's memorabilia during an event, perhaps something as fragile as the leg lamp?
Just create some distance between, the celebrities, a couple of the cast members of Christmas Story and fans. People maybe don't understand anything. They've been waiting in line to become irate. You got to kind of
diffuse the situation.
Throw some cold water on them a little bit. And then, at the same time, give them some, some gimmies to kind of keep them a fan still, wow. You got to make it like so that it was their idea. I was like, wow, okay. I was a little out of hand. I get it. And hey, thanks for, getting me that autograph. I mean, cause I've been in line, that kind of thing. So you got to kind of finesse it a little bit, but I mean, I've had, just a couple of those, nothing as far as like the Christmas Story people go that has, gotten, violent or anything, but I've definitely had to, create some distance. Some people overreach, they're a fan, you're there, they get caught up in the moment. Because maybe they, chatted with you or met you at another event, they feel like you guys are old friends. It's some kind of a, you know, psychological thing where they think like, oh yeah, I know him. I mean, you know who I am. You don't know me, you know? So to, you know, so they overreach the boundaries sometimes, you know, and especially to guys like you. I mean, it's like you guys meet thousands and thousands and thousands of people, right? So do you really remember somebody that you met in Wisconsin 2 years ago? You know what I'm saying? It's so, you know, in their mind, it's fresh because, you know.
Yeah, there's one person.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, to you, you're like, I'm going to need some more information. You know,
yeah.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, there are those that have that special memory that's been created and those that kind of are just going through the motions, you know what I mean? And, but all of them are relevant to the fact that they have this string, that's tethered everybody together, which is a Christmas story.
And sure. Well,
intrigued, I mean, by, you know, the cats being there.
The Christmas story touches on so many points. I mean, it hits people on so many levels. I mean, and one I keep, you know, going back to, because it almost seems like that was like the thing, right? I lost my father recently. And then, you know, poor Zach, you know, he lost his father. And then I remember so many people coming up and saying, you know, that, you know, the second installment meant so much because, you know, I lost my father, and I just heard it so much. And I was just like, wow. You know what I mean? So it really connects on unforgettable event levels. It's just not in passing where, like, you met him in Walmart or something, you know? So it's like, oh yeah, I forgot all about that. It happened, you know, at a certain, you know, precipice in time where something happened, you know, that kind of ties it all together. And that movie touched, I mean, they touch on so many points, and you guys do it so well, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand it, and that's part of doing what I do too, right? So I can't come off a certain way to people. I have to understand understand their emotion. I have to help them understand, you know, the situation, how it's kind of, you know, overreaching a little bit, at the same time, not alienating them or, you know, keeping them a fan and not an enemy, you know what I mean? So not only in social media, but, you know, some people more mentally fragile than others. So you don't want to turn it into that situation, you know. I mean, it can escalate in all different directions. So I like to think that, you know, with my experience that I've learned how to, you know what I mean, diffuse things and keep everybody still in a jovial mood in the event. And, you know, it doesn't need to escalate. Like, some people just go too far. They don't need to. And I don't mean fans. I mean, even security, it just goes too far. It's like, relax, you know, it doesn't call for that. You know, we're hunting mice, not elephants. You don't need the big gun. It's just like, calm down a little bit. Right. Exactly. Why you even have handcuffs is beyond me. That's all unnecessary gear. Right.
Yeah.
You know, some of these people, it's like, hey, snap out of it. And it's like, oh, you know, that's all you need. You know, just, you know, so you got to finesse it a little bit, you know. And I understand, you know, Pete, right down to how he likes his coffee and what kind of snacks he likes, what he drinks at the bar. Same thing with Scott and, you know, other people that I have interaction. So I like to try to set things up for them, you know, as well. But, you know, you just, you know, you want to keep it light for everybody, you know.
Yeah,
you know? Definitely.
Yeah. Right on. All right, cool. So now I've got some personal questions for you. Okay. All right. So first one, reflecting on the challenges and the dangers that you faced in your life, what has been your greatest lesson learned about courage and then about fear?
I think that my greatest, I mean, you really have to tap into your courage, right? You have to connect with it. You know, you have to realize your own boundaries, how far you're willing to go, you know, and not just how far you like to think you're willing to go. Like, actually, I've been there, so I know I'll go that far, you know. But, and then as far as fear, I mean, you have to embrace fear. You have to, if you're not afraid, then you, when you become unafraid, then you need to get out of the game because, you know, you have to have that fear level. So I've kind of learned how to balance everything, you know. it was like years and years ago, you know, doing some training. Like I remember everything, like certain instructors taught us. Look, you have to size everybody up. Like if something went down, I need to, that guy and that guy are my biggest threat here. So once I get rid of them, you know, that's a sheep, that's a sheep. There's some women and kids, they'll go easily. You know what I mean? So you just learn to size people up. Never underestimate anybody. I've learned never lose fear. I mean, and then I think fear is also fuel for courage. So, you know, so I think that's what I've learned. I hope I didn't go off topic too much, but you know what I mean? It's like, I think I've learned that it's the combination of them kind of, you know, is what's necessary. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Question number two, throughout your career in both military and security roles, what moments of vulnerability reshaped your perspective on strength?
It was an incident happened. It was a violent incident that occurred. I had been asleep and I was vulnerable because, you know, I was asleep, you know, in my underwear, under a blanket. I had on socks, which created a hazard because, you know, where we were, door pops open. I don't know what's going on. I'm immediately being hit with a machete, but I got a blanket. Now I'm being hit, but I'm not being cut. I mean, I was cut, like, you know, I got a, you know, but I'm being hit, but I'm not being cut because I got the blanket. So I'm getting to my feet, but the room has tile floors. So I'm sliding around. I'm like Tom Cruise in that movie in socks, right? Risky business. I'm sliding across the floor. You know, and I'm using my feet to get my socks off, and I got a hold of the machete, you know, and I'm headbutting the guy, and we end up going to the floor, and he's got my back, I'm face down, and it was one of the most vulnerable positions, and I just remember there were guard dogs in the next room, and for some reason that door got closed, and I just remember yelling to open that door, because I couldn't go nowhere. I mean, the guy had me fish hooked. I mean, there was other people in the rooms, you know, it was just some melee going on, but somebody broke, some of the other guys broke loose and opened the door and let the dogs, the dogs that we had out, and they just like started to neutralize everything. So, you know, I had a lot of hypervigilance after that, you know, where I just kind of, you know, you sleep a little, you're awake a little bit, you sleep a little, you wake a little bit. It took some time to kind of come down off that. But, you know, back to the whole thing is like, so what I learned is to, I mean, you don't want to go through life like that, but you still have to be careful. All right. We don't live in a place where you can leave windows unlocked and doors unlocked. And, you know, you just have to be careful all the time, you know, in everything you do. So.
Right on.
Hope that wasn't a downer. Yeah. But I mean, you know, you asked it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah.
We want that.
Yeah.
All right. So question number three, can you share a turning point in your life when you realized your purpose extended just beyond security into something more meaningful with a Christmas Story community?
As I said, you know, we had a lull in the normal kind of things that I do. And, you know, I had an opportunity, to come to work for Pete and to kind of be involved in the show. And I think, you know, watching you guys and seeing, like, even like being around, like, you guys as much as I was, but, you know, Pete and Scott, you know, we have a closer relationship. So it's like, you know, just seeing these guys and like, you know, how, you know, and again, I'm sure you guys are all this way, but for me, it was like, you know, I really noticed how Peter really like loves his fans and takes care of his fans. And he doesn't care what else is going on or what management's thinking. You know, he wants to make sure his fans are being treated right and taken care of. Like even like little things, like he would, you know, we'd have a bunch of stickers there, or, you know, this was one incident. We had some stickers that Rich had made, and I had an idea sticking them on some of the little bullseye targets. Mm. And then Pete was like, hey, I'm going to sign a bunch of them. And like, that was like a gimme for like special needs kids and stuff like that. So it was just like, I really looked at, I got to check. I mean, all of you guys, I mean, I've seen it in all of you, but you know, being immersed, you know, with, you know, Peter and Scott so much, it was like to see that. And that's kind of made me think like, yeah, that's, I need to be around that kind of a thing, you know, so that made me want to like, work with you guys and in that, you know, in that vein more, you know, to do more good things, to help more, you know, see the people smile, you know, it's a total, you know, 180, right? From what you do or what I did to what I started doing, you know, with you guys, I was like, this is where I need to be, where it's, you know, people are happy and nice and, you know what I mean? And everybody's just getting along and doing good things for each other, you know? So that was a turning point for me. I said, like, this is where I'm at.
That's, you know, awesome.
Yeah. I mean, and you guys are all great like that, you know? So.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Because a lot of the times, you know, we kind of take that for granted or we don't see it, right? The things that happen behind the scenes, that most people don't get to see, is what is the true essence of our giving heart, our loving heart for not only the fans, but for their experience, right? Because being able to do those things is what's elevating their experience in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I believe we're all on the same page with doing that for our fans. Because this movie, as you know, this movie, man, it's just, it's more than just a movie. It's like, it's impacted people's emotional, you know, life. So it's awesome.
Well, that goes back to, more of like, you know, who's that guy in all the pictures, right?
Yes.
I'm the guy that tries to make sure nobody's missed. And I try to do, you know, what Pete likes to be done and what Scott likes to be done. Because you guys get busy and inundated. And sometimes you miss somebody, but I'm kind of like, you know, number two. So I make sure they're not missed. Like, I, you know, the guy that got passed over, I recognize that. I make sure I give him one of the gimmies. You know, he got a signature, he got a picture or something, or call somebody back.
Right.
You know, so that's part of what I try to do without overstepping anybody's boundaries. You know,
All right, cool. So thank you. So number four, what strategies do you use to stay grounded and maintain integrity in environments surrounded by fame and potential chaos?
You always have to be on time. You always have to make sure that, you know, you're doing what's best for the cast and whoever you're working with, and you know, look your best because, you know, you're an extension of them. You're representing them, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, just make sure that you're aware of, like, their nuances, their needs, you know, like I said, how do you take their coffee? You know, it's like little things like that. You know, they're in a rush, they're going to get somewhere. You know, if I can get the coffee, if I can get the other kind of stuff and make it comfortable for you guys, make things go a little bit easier. And then at the same time, you know, like, you have to, you know, to avoid, you know, issues again, you know, you got to head on a swivel, you got to watch the room, you know. You know, you got to recognize, I've seen that guy in the elevator too many times. I've seen that, you know, that kind of, you know what I mean? That bag looks a little heavy, you know, you know, little kind of stuff like that. You know, he's stepping a little too close. I haven't seen him buy anything. You know, I haven't seen, you know what I'm saying? So
I do.
Yeah. You gotta, you know, so all of that together, I mean, you have to be like a, you know, consummate professional and that's what I try to be. I try to do it the best I can. I don't want to embarrass anybody that I work for. I would never create a situation for anybody I work for. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Right on. All right. Last question before we get into a cool little fun game here.
Nice.
So, looking forward, what legacy do you want to leave behind, both personally and in the context of A Christmas Story?
I don't know. I'd like people to kind of, you know, maybe if I came across their mind or something, just say, you know, he was a good guy. He was helpful, honest, you know, I guess that would be the legacy. I just want to be, a good person. You know, you want to be remembered for the good things, right? So I think that would be the legacy. And I'd like to, as far as like the Christmas story, I'd like to be thought of fondly, I guess, by all you guys that way, you know, as well. So I think that would be the connection.
Well, I could tell you that you're doing it. I could tell you that you are spreading your legacy because the reason why I say that, bro, is because, you know, whenever your name pops up, or, you know, we think about that whole experience that we had in Cleveland and Indiana and, you know, the other shows, you know, what pops up for me is, you know, I just barely met you. Right. And think about, you know, it's only been 6 months, 7 months since we actually met each other, but yet, you know, Scotty, and I've known Scotty for years. Like, I feel like you feel like Scotty, like we're brothers, you know what I mean? If he wants to come to my house, there's the key, there's the code to get in. Later's full, do whatever you want. The shower's right there. You just go in there. If you need clothes, there you go. We might have a different size shoe, but, you know, hey, it's yours and which yours.
Yeah, he's got his own closet here. There's an extra bar.
Awesome. So, you know, I want to tell you, man, that your energy, who you are, your presence, for me personally, it has resonated with me as somebody that when I think of you, I'm like, I there's only one thing that I can say that resonates with us. I love that guy. And I love that guy because you're welcome, because you're balanced, meaning that, you know, you just have this innate nature to make people feel comfortable and safe. And your not only your humility, but your the way that your personality is, your humor is on point. All love your humor because, of course, you know, life is about having fun, man. And when we can have fun no matter what we do, but yet also maintain what we're trying to do at the same time, that's the essence of life. So, you know, to answer your question, man, you are living your legacy. And that's for me personally. So
thank you. It means a lot.
Yeah.
Hey, sure. You know, you got to laugh a little bit. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. So. No doubt. All right. So we're going to switch gears and play a little game that we're calling Rescue or Not. Okay. Okay. I'll lay out some hilarious and tricky scenarios involving some celebrities. And you decide whether to jump into action or let them figure it out on their own. All right. So remember, these are all good and fun. So let's just go ahead and jump into this. So we're going to flash forward. And Ralphie's all grown up, dusting off the old Red Ryder BB gun to show his son the ropes. With a sharpshooter squint, he aims at a makeshift target only to accidentally pepper a passing ice cream truck. Suddenly, it's a free-for-all as neighborhood kids scramble for spilled treats. Just as the press cameras zoom in on the chaos originator, do you swoop in to snatch the BB gun and spare Ralphie a sequel to his infamous Oh Fudge moment? Or do you sit back and chuckle at his son's giggles over dad proving that maybe, just maybe, he really is too old for all this?
I'd have to say I'd swoop in and snatch the gun and take the hit for him.
Rescue.
Yeah, rescue for sure.
Right there, bro.
For sure.
Right on. That's awesome. All right. Question number two. It's deja vu all over again, and this frosty day as Flick, forever the daredevil, lands his tongue on a flat pole. Triple dog dared, of course. With the fire department tied up and rescuing a cat and TikTokers live streaming, do you come to his rescue with a steaming cup of cocoa or grab your phone to direct A Christmas Story Part 3, Flick Strike Back, featuring the most epic tongue-stuck sequel ever?
I got to rescue my boy. I can't leave Scott like that. No, I can't do it.
I could just imagine. That would be amazing. His tongue stuck and you're just pouring some warm cocoa.
Well, I'd probably pull on it a few times and then be like, oh, let me, I better pour some more water on it.
Your tongue's not letting go, bro. Sorry.
A couple good yanks and then be like, oh, cocoa.
That's awesome. All right. Okay. Number three, 2024 brings a tech twist to a classic scene. The old man wins a newfangled Ruben Fried original official leg lamp, setting it aglow in the front window. Disaster strikes when a rogue drone from next door makes a beeline for this luminous prize. As the lamp wobbles on the brink, do you leap to save the major award from becoming a pile of nostalgic shards? Or do you watch the drama unfold, ready to savior the old man's next legendary fragile rant?
I'm going to let that lamp go because I love that rant. I gotta have the rant.
Right. That whole scene, right? It was.
That lamp's got to go. I got to hear it again.
I agree, because lamps can be replaced.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. That's a one-off. Whatever rolls off his tongue, that's like right. In real time. I got to have that.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. Last. Actually, we got two more questions to go. So,
take your time.
At a Comic Con, mm-hmm. Randy decides to recreate his snowsuit scene with a twist. He's wearing an inflatable sumo wrestler costume under his snowsuit. As he waddles around the booth, the inflator manufacturer malfunctions, turning him into a human blimp. Floating gently across the ceiling, surrounded by confused and amused fans, do you grab a prop harpoon from a nearby Moby Dick booth to gently deflate him back to Earth, or do you let him become the first ever human Zeppelin?
I'm going to have to come in and deflate him, because I'll tell you, Ian was my guy in Cleveland. He was my wingman at the bar. He helped helped me out a little bit with T-shirt girl. So I owe him I got to save him.
Got to save him. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. One more question. So another at a Comic-Con. Ralphie decides it's finally time to break out the pink bunny suit for a nostalgic cosplay. Just as he's hopping through the crowd, a famous YouTuber spots him and starts a live stream. Ralphie's suit catches on a booth, unraveling as he walks. Do you jump in with a sewing kit to save his dignity, or just let the internet immortalize Bunny Ralphie 2.0?
I got to save him again.
See, that's amazing, bro.
I got to save Pete.
We all do, no doubt, right? In any given situation. I think that's that.
Peter has my 100% loyalty. He never has to worry about that.
Yeah.
In any situation.
Yeah, and I think that's something that is another thread that we all share. You know what I mean? And that for me is that loyalty and that respect and that trust and that love. It all kind of flows together. And that's something that, for us is like the benchmark of what long-term relationships should be, you know what I mean? And
sure. Friendships
and life ships as well. So, awesome.
I mean, yous are all like that. I mean, you could tell, you guys are all like genuinely great people, right?
Yeah.
When you recognize that, I mean, that's a person that you have no problem giving your loyalty to, right?
Yep.
It's not everybody too. I mean, I could say to you, and people that know me would say to you, look, it's not easy to get Scott's loyalty. If you got it, if like he's got your back, then you're good. You're in somehow. Whatever you did, but it's not an easy road to get there. But if you're there, so, and all you guys are there, I had such a great time with you guys, and I just like, it was almost like a depression after, because I was like, man, it's like, when's the next, when is there something else? It's like, I just wanted to keep around you guys and just keep, with anything you guys did to be a part of it, because it was just, uplifting really, no other mercenary motive, for nothing. It just to, how it makes you feel. It enlightens you, So you guys are doing great, and I hope you do it a long time.
Well, that's awesome, brother. Thank you, man, so much for taking the time to kind of dive deep into your life. I know that it was a very small piece of it because I saw your wheels turning like, okay, how do I make this work? So we appreciate you taking the time, man. I really do. And if there's one thing that you can tell... Now, when I say fans, I mean, remember that we're literally talking to 40 million fans. Across
sure. The of course.
There was one thing that you could tell a fan that, would resonate with them about the cast, about the movie, or with your experience with the movie. What would you want to, tell a fan?
That you guys are genuine. You guys are actually genuine you know, this isn't like a character or some, you know, you always hear like, oh, I wish I was his biggest fan. I wish I never met him because it kind of ruined everything for me. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not the case with you guys. I mean, you guys are genuine. You guys are great. You guys are fun. You guys are, you know, I always say, look, I can't say enough good things. So it's like, you guys are generous with your fans. I would just say, if they haven't gone to meet you guys at a show or been somewhere where you guys are at, they should absolutely do it. And if not, then I would just tell them everything that they're probably thinking about you guys is 100% true. You guys are great, you know, great people.
Right on.
So,
well, Scott, so if you could pronounce your full name, where you're from, born, how young you are, like, let's get a little bit more granular about who you are, because I know that that's going to be a question that will probably come. So tell us.
Okay. Well, Scott Miniger. I'm from New Jersey. 56 this year, I think. Yeah, wow. And
kids, no kids, grandkids.
Yeah, I got, you know, family. Three boys, right, all doing great. I'm the president of the Yano fan club. I'm his biggest fan. I have a tattoo of him
right above your heart.
Right above my heart.
Yes.
Only because they wouldn't do it on
right
my
next
heart.
To Scott. Right next to Scotty. Yeah.
So,
awesome. All right. Well, thanks, Scott, man. We all love you very much, man. And we appreciate you.
Well, you guys are great. I love you guys. And, you know, anything I could ever do for you guys, please.
You are the man.
Thank you.
After diving deep into those stories and scenarios, it is clear that Scott not only has a knack for navigating the unexpected, but also carries a wealth of experiences that resonates with the themes of courage, loyalty, and humor that are so beloved in A Christmas Story. As we wind down today's episode, it has been an absolute pleasure to uncover the man behind the mystery, the hero in the shadows. Your stories remind us of the unexpected heroes in our own lives, those who support and protect, often without spotlight or recognition. As the soft glow of your screen fades and you find yourself wrapped in the comforting silence that follows a good story, remember that the spirit of A Christmas Story, it isn't just confined to the holiday seasons. It lives on in every act of kindness, every laugh shared in unexpected circumstances, and every person who stands guard over the cherished traditions of our community. To our stars, crew, and supporters of A Christmas Story, whether you shone in front of the camera, handled the crucial tasks behind the scenes, or a part of the essential support that kept everything running smoothly, this message is for you. Welcome. Welcome home to A Christmas Story family. Your contributions have made you a permanent part of this family. There is no need for an invitation. Your place here was sealed with your efforts and love for our shared classic. We cherish every moment, every laugh, and every moment of magic that you helped create. Now we want to reconnect. Reach out to me or any member of my team and let's rekindle old friendships and spark new collaborations. We have many stories to tell, more memories to make, and more magic to share with the world. And to all of our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on this adventure through the heart and history of A Christmas Story. Your engagement and enthusiasm fuel this show and keep the magic alive, episode after episode. Don't forget to subscribe and join us next time for more behind-the-scenes tales, deep dives, and unexpected revelations that remind us why this film and its community continue to capture our hearts year after year. Remember to visit achristmasstoryfamily.com, sign up for our newsletter if you haven't already. Stay connected with us, stay curious, and above all, keep the warmth of this family story burning bright in your hearts. Until next time, keep your lamp lights glowing and make your days be more merry, your evenings filled with laughter, and your heart always open to the simple joys of the seasons. Good evening, good morning, and good afternoon wherever you are in the world. And everyone, remember, every day can feel like Christmas morning if we carry this spirit within us. Welcome home.
out. I shot my eye out.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.